Welcome to the Atlanta Real Estate Show. Is that right?
No.
Real Estate Atlanta? I already messed it up.
Atlanta, right out of the box, you messed up.
Real Estate Atlanta. That's what we're going with, huh?
But that's okay. We're going to give you a mulligan because it's a brand new show. Now, we've had our share of real estate professionals in the studio, in all three of our studios, but this is the inaugural episode of Real Estate Atlanta, where every week we're going to feature real estate professionals and get their take on the profession and find out their unique approach to serving the market. And I've been very excited about this one. We've had it booked out for several weeks now. In the studio with us this afternoon is the fantastic team from Three Options Realty and their fearless leader, Lee Dan Wilhelm. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you having us on.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Now, as I understand it, you are the grand poobah. You're the managing broker. How did you get in this line of work? When everybody else was playing cops and robbers, you said, I'm going to be a managing broker?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, I'm a retired military officer, got out of the Army in 1993 and wanted to be an investor in real estate. And I figured the best way for me to learn about real estate would be to protect myself would be to become a realtor and help people with buying and selling for a few years until I could avoid making the big mistake. And so I did that. And in 1997, I decided to go ahead and make my first investment purchase, and I did, and that got me started in property management, which is sort of the beginning of the story. And I found that just managing property for myself, people that I was working with in sales would come to me and say, well, would you manage my property, which I never had any intentions of managing property for anybody else. But one thing led to another, and I would tell them that I wasn't really resourced to manage their property, but I would. But they said, well, we want you to do it anyway because we trust you and just take care of it. And so I said, okay. And so years went by, and I didn't push it very hard. But after about 7 years, I was managing a little over 100 houses.
100 houses?
Yeah.
I can't manage one household, Dan.
Yeah, well. but it kind of grew out of its own just through word of mouth. And in, I guess it was 2004, I was invited by a colleague to merge my company with his, and it was one of the large property management companies in Atlanta. And he said, well, Dan, look, he said, I know you've always wanted to have a sales office and you've always wanted to teach. He said, and you might have a better opportunity to do that if you merge with me, because I've got a company here that's been managing property for, you know, he's been in business for 25 years. He said, I've never been able to figure out how to tap into the resource of my landlords and my tenants who are potential buyers and sellers. He said, and you've been doing that. In fact, I had been. That was a principal source of leads for me, was the people that I was leasing to and managing for. And so I said, well, yeah, it sounds like a pretty good idea. So I joined him, and this sounds like a long story. It is a long story, but there's a reason. You'll see why I'm going to get there.
We got all afternoon, Dave. No worries.
Okay, all right. So I did join him, and I began to learn about property management companies and how they operate. And in the meantime, while all that's going on, I had joined an organization called the National Association of Residential Property Managers, NARPM, which is a great organization for any real estate people who are doing property management, because there's really no other real good source to learn about property management in our industry other than through this particular professional trade organization.
Not the sexiest acronym I've ever heard, but great association.
Yeah, we call it NARPM for
NARPM,
short.
NARPM, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so I quickly got involved in the leadership of NARPM, and I'm a past president of the Atlanta chapter, and I'm actually the president-elect again this year.
Wow.
So, but what that's done for me is it has given me the opportunity to get to know a lot of the players in Atlanta and all across the state of Georgia. And so through that relationship, I understand something about how their businesses operate and how they're structured and how they're organized. And I saw from the company that I was working with, that I'd merged with, a problem that I thought I could do better with. And that was just the prototypical management company, and this is nationwide, not just here in Georgia, is they have what I would call a staff-heavy type organization. And so they would have, for example, 15 staff and 4 or 5 agents who were out there in the field that were doing the street work. And what I witnessed from being in that organization was that – there was a customer service problem. And this guy had been working in it for 25 years and had never been able to figure it out. But what would happen is I would call an owner and I'd say, well, it looks like your property is going to be coming up for lease again because the tenant's moving out in 60 days. Do you want to sell it or do you want to lease it again? He said, well, I think I want to sell it, but I don't want to sell it with you guys. I said, woo.
Ouch.
Yeah, seriously. And I kept getting that kind of a response every time I called an owner. And I also got that same kind of response when I talked to the tenant. Well, that wasn't going to work. So I could see there was some kind of a problem, and it occurred to me that it was maybe an organizational problem because the people were great. I mean, I knew all the people in the organization. They were good people, hardworking, a good attitude. But what I observed is that when people would call in and say, I need to have my property managed, they would turn them over to a closer or some one particular person who would sell them on their system. And once they said, yeah, I want to work with you, then they would turn them over to a leasing agent. And that agent would now, this is the second person at this owner's meeting, and they would go out and lease the property. And once they got it leased, then they would turn them over to a property manager, third person. And in the bigger companies, you've got an assistant property manager, so now there's a fourth person enters into it. And so when the owner then has a question about a maintenance issue on their property, they would call in and they say, well, we're going to turn you over to the maintenance department. And then it's another person. And they say, well, you got a question on your invoice. You know, you got a $75 charge you don't understand. Well, you need to talk to bookkeeping. And so it's just you're talking to all these different people and owner never knows who to talk to when they got a particular question. And so the owners get frustrated with that.
Sure.
Now, you might imagine the tenants would also get frustrated with that because they never know who to talk to when they call in with an issue. And then what I also noticed was that the staff itself got frustrated because people would call in, and invariably the person they would be talking to wasn't the person that was going to be able to help them. And so they would pass them off to someone else, and they may or may not get a phone call back. And so it just was I just think the organizational structure was not a good idea. And so what I did in 2008, actually in August of 2008, when the bottom fell out of the real estate market, I decided to go ahead and start this company through Options Realty. So now I'm getting to answer the question that you asked me from the beginning is, well, I figured there has to be a better way of doing this. And so what I did was I created this company to operate pretty much the way my little company did before I merged with that other one, with a bigger company. And what that was one agent per client. So the agents that you're going to talk to here in the room today, all of them do leasing, management, and sales. And they are the person that will talk to you about our policies and procedures and make you decide whether you want to work with us or not. They become the leasing agent for that property. Then they become the property
one
manager.
One point of contact.
Exactly. And so whatever the question is, you call that person. And that person has a knowledge of the other company. If you called the property manager, they may have never even met the tenant or even seen the house. And in our case, our agents know who they're dealing with. They know what the owner would want to do in particular situations. They've seen the house. They understand when a tenant starts talking to them about what's going on. And I think we can better serve. And so while it might sound sort of cliche, what I've tried to design is a quality service organization where the idea is about doing such a good job for these tenants and these landlords that when it comes around time for them to buy another property or to sell one of their properties, they don't have to think about anybody else. They've got their realtor. They've established a trust and a relationship with them. And why not work with them in the sales?
Now, I want to get off the subject a little bit, but you mentioned early on that you spent quite some time in the military. Did any of that experience kind of help guide you in this changing of your methodology?
Well, of course, the leadership aspects of 21 years of service always has a role. It's funny, though, that I was the custodian of a couple of nuclear weapons storage sites over in Europe for a number of years. And you say, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, in each of the sites, I was a commander of an organization that had four remote sites. Each had its own nuclear weapons storage site in Germany. And each of them had their own communities. They had we had housing, we had furniture, we had the whole nine yards. So I did get an opportunity in the military to actually manage communities.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure that there were some lessons that I learned there that have helped me a lot in this role also.
So three options. Why the name? Tell us about the name.
Thank you very much. It's sales, leasing, and property management. That's the whole idea. What we really, really want to be doing is selling. And we also recognize, and I recognized back in 2008, that there was going to be a demand much greater than we'd ever seen before of owners, property owners, who would like to sell their property but would be unable to because they're upside down with the mortgage or a lot of different reasons, just couldn't deal with the fact that their property's lost 25 or 30% of its value. And so an alternative would be to lease the property. So I saw that possibility, and I really thought that agents would come flocking to Three Options Realty to want to do this. And what I found, though, was that it's a very rare breed of agent that wants to work at Three Options Realty, because these agents work their tails off. It is hard, hard work. It's thankless work, and you have to have a long-term view. If you're thinking about what have you done for me lately, my agents won't survive at Three Options Realty. It's got to be a long-term. They've got to look at this and say, where am I going to be in 4 or 5 years from now? And I think that I've got that kind of a crew right now.
Well, let's talk to some of this crack team. Sitting right next to you is LaTanya Sampson.
Yes, how are you?
Doing great. Welcome to the show. So give us a little bit of a feel for what did compel you to pull the trigger and say, you know what, this is the outfit for me. This is where I want
to
be.
Well, I have to put a lot of it on the fact that it's leadership. I say his history in the service and the leadership and the, you know, knowledge, obviously, in the industry is just beyond any place. Because we are a smaller company, he's very hands-on. And
I thought you were going to say handsome.
That too. But he's married, so we'll leave that there. But very hands-on and so knowledgeable. I can pick up the phone and ask Dan any question. He's also very up-to-date on all of the laws, and he keeps us to the letter. If I need some information or I need to go through a scenario, there's nothing to pick up the phone and ask him. He's either experienced it or he knows the law to keep us in line. So it's exciting to have that type of support in place. So really excited about the company I'm with and the team that I'm with. And
so had you bought into this long-term perspective?
Absolutely.
That wasn't a problem for you?
Not at all. I had some experience in property management before, and it was something that I did. My father was an investment. He had in real estate investment all my life. So I wanted to be a property owner first. Then I got into the real estate market. Always had a little touch in it. Did loan mortgage origination. But the market changed. And I realized relationships were very important, just as Dan shares with us. We can build these relationships, be in that one-stop shop, providing excellent customer service, that they not only refer new business to us, but also we help people buy the houses that they lease right now. We help them buy their new house when they're ready. And through this, you know, strained economy, as they go through those steps, we take them either to their next home or their next purchase. And it's a good place
to
be.
So it's worked as Dan kind of imagined.
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And you've seen this with your eyes.
My eyes in my pocket. and it's a good business to be in. If you're about the integrity that you want to put forth, it shows in your work. It's one of those things you can do to have your work really speak for itself.
Now, is there an area of town that you specialize in?
Yes, I do. I live and I work primarily in DeKalb County and the surrounding counties, Gwinnett, Clayton, Rockdale, Fulton. So in the middle of DeKalb and all the way around.
And you know that area pretty well?
Very well, very well. I was one of those children my mom liked to just drive around for whatever reason and shop. So I tend to kind of wander. So yeah, I'm a back street type of person. Just kind of go all the way around. So yes.
Now we also have in the studio a couple of other folks from the team, including Letitia Robb. So what's your story, Letitia?
Well, my story, I actually have a military background as well as Dan.
Wow.
I was in the Navy for 4 years. And I learned something in the Navy about what you do I used to work really hard. I was a second-class yeoman. I had a secret clearance. I used to work directly for the commanding officer of a helicopter squadron, and I had these guys who were second-class petty officers as well that would sweep the deck and get the same check as me every couple of weeks. But, you know, I'm not into that, you know. So I learned very quickly that, you know, I want what I put into something to come out of it. So that quickly, you know, gave me the inclination to want to be in sales. So I lived in Florida at the time. I was working, doing some yacht and boat sales. And Florida is really big on that. Twice a year, we used to make the most money we could. And, you know, but during the rest of the time, we were, you know, soliciting people or, you know, just, you know, saying, hey, you know, whenever you're ready, we got your boat, you know. So, but I've always had I'm a people person. So I have a good way with people. And so real estate was something that was right there near to me because I was working with other salesmen. I got with a company of investors called GK International, and they basically, you know, buy real estate in North America and basically fix it up and put some renters in it. So I'm here in Atlanta, and they recognized Atlanta as a market. So they said, hey, Letitia, you want to start managing some properties, helping us buy them? And so that started in 2010. And then I started to realize that, you know, hey, I can be an agent as well. And since I'm already helping with, you know, working with this company, dealing with investors, buying just a bunch of properties, learning the way to buy and sell. So I became a real estate agent. The reason I love 3 Options is because it's not a bottom line company. It's a company about relationships. So if you're just in it for like how many sales can I make today and how much can I make today, then you don't want to be around this company because we're relationship people. We're slow. We build it up. We nurture, all of the tenants that I have, they love me. They won't leave me. They'll stay in their house. They have, you know, so anything going on and they just can call me. I tell them you never can bother me. You know, they say it anyway. Sorry to bother you, but you know, but they just love me because I'm available. I'm attentive, and you know, I've gotten so many referrals just from my tenants. You know, just because I'm so available, they're like, hey, I got the best property manager. You want to be in the Cobb area? That's my area.
That's your area.
Yes, I live in Marietta. So Marietta, Powder Springs, Woodstock, Kennesaw, Austell, and the surrounding areas. I'm there. I live there. I know the area. I know the schools. I know the rental amounts. All of the properties that we represent are very quality. You know, we're very competitive in the market. We don't have, you know, properties with things falling apart. You know, they're actually put together really nice. They're clean. They're ready to rent, and people are happy with.
Now, when you're working with, when you're the property manager and they call you, how do you kind of build that rapport? Because they're calling you a lot of the time because there's a problem, right? They're not calling just to chat and hang out.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, how do you, like, what skills do you have to kind of move them from being upset to, hey, I'm going to take care of you, and it becomes more, you know, the camaraderie kind of increases.
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. Okay, well, you know, when at first, it starts from the beginning. So the minute that I'm at their house and we're going through the walkthrough and we're talking about the, you know, the security deposit, which you're going to get back because of the condition of things, you know. Okay. So you kind of put them on a, you know, they have a sense of responsibility themselves because they know how the property was given to them. But I tell them, if, you know, something, if a screw's missing, if it's coming out, don't get on the chair and try to screw it in. Give me a call. I'll make sure that somebody will come and take care of you. You know, I don't want you to feel like you don't have to call me, you know, or, you know that rent's due in a week, so you better pay it before you call me. You know, just give me a call. It's, you know, it's not a big deal.
So you kind of lay the groundwork right off the bat.
Absolutely. Just kind of let them know that, you know, I'm
here
for you.
It's not a hassle and you're not.
No, I tell them you can never bother me. I'm always available.
And you're there to serve them.
Absolutely, because I have my responsibilities to the owner and to the tenant. So I want to make sure that the house,
both sides are happy.
Right. I want to make sure the house stays nice, and I want to make sure the tenant's happy. So I do my best to stay available and fix problems immediately.
But not every tenant has had that experience in the past. Don't you agree?
Oh, no. I rarely get phone calls. And if I do, you know, I'm right on it. And if I get phone calls regarding, you know, rent, you know, I tell them, communicate with me. If you know a week before the rent's due that your check's going to come a day later, just let me know then. But don't tell me the day
don't
the rent's
late. Don't
surprise
me. Right. We don't like surprises.
And I'm very easy to work with in that respect. So they call me. They say, hey, Letitia, this was a crazy month. You know, check's falling on 2 days later. So I say, hey, no problem. I won't charge your late fee this month.
Right.
Thanks for letting me know.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's about respect and dignity for the tenant. And I think that a lot of times professional managers lose the idea that they're dealing with human beings, dealing with people.
Right.
And if you treat them with respect and dignity, then they're gonna respect you back. And remember, we're in this thing for the sales. We're not just in it for the lease. So we are committed to serving our owners well, but also serving our tenants because they all represent future business.
Right. And I would imagine that that's a gap that some of these larger organizations have, is that these are just, for them, it's a spreadsheet. And it's just an address on a spreadsheet that has a dollar amount associated with it. So they're just looking at that. And you guys, it seems, are looking at the people that are in there on both sides of the equation so that you're elevating service to a much higher level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had agents that have come and wanted to work with me and have lasted about maybe 2 months because they found out that where they had come from back in 2008, they had come from big real estate companies that were really, really turning it over very quickly. And I won't mention any names, but they were doing like, 20 closings a month and maybe more than that. I'm thinking of one particular agent right now. When she sat down with me, she said that she had no referral base. She'd been working for years and years with this one, this one brokerage, had been doing more than 30 closings a month. And had no referral base. It's because they didn't care.
Right.
They get her to the closing table, and then it's goodbye. There's
right.
so
it's
much.
It's like burn and churn, right?
Exactly.
So I don't know how you get these ladies to come out of their shell, but congratulations on that. But I want to hear from you, but then I want to hear from both of them and from Graham Barrett, who's also on the team and in the studio with us. I want to hear a little bit about your recruiting process, the interviewing process, the ramp up, because you're obviously doing something right. Speak to that a little bit.
Well, okay. Actually, recruiting is not a big deal for me. It's not something that when I told you earlier that I thought that agents would flock to Three Options Realty. Well, they didn't. And I initially did start recruiting, and I didn't even understand really myself what person I was looking for. And I probably have let go since 2008. I probably let go 35 or 40 agents.
Wow.
And we have a team of 15 right now, including myself. And I'm really happy with the ones that we have, and I'm not really recruiting. We get word of mouth. All of the agents that I have right now are strategically located all across Atlanta, from east, west, north, south, across the metro area. And property management is a very geographically centered proposition. Sales, you can live in Decatur and you can sell a house in Acworth. No problem. But you can't manage a property in Acworth if you live in Decatur. Mm. It just isn't practical. And so our agents are all across Atlanta. And if one of them left me right now, I'd probably be in trouble. But they've got their portfolio. I've got agents with 45 properties that they're managing each. And if they were to go to another broker, they leave that behind. And they can't take it with them because there aren't any other brokerages that do it the way we do it. If LaTanya, for example, were to go to another broker, and if she brought her properties with her, which she wouldn't be able to do, but if she did, she would not have the same relationship. She would have to be a leasing agent or a property manager. She wouldn't be able to be both. And so she would lose those relationships. And so, recruiting has not been something that I've spent a lot of energy on. And it's not something I worry much about. I've got good agents out there. They're doing a good job. I sleep well at night.
We already separated the wheat from the chaff. You're past that. And LaTanya, you had something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think that's another reason why I was so excited about joining his team. I left corporate America after 3 layoffs in 2 mm-hmm. years. One had a history in real estate, and he had something unique in the marketplace. And that's timing, and the opportunity is everything. So when you see, real estate changing, the market changing, knowing that leasing is building and people are looking for a good property manager, and he has a model that you can fit into and answer any question and be everything to somebody and do it efficiently, and it's always getting better, it was just a great place to be and go to.
So do you have a relationship like this with any realtor? Like you're describing? That's amazing.
I have one house, the only house that I've ever bought. And the the guy sold the house, I haven't heard from him.
See, I still get the postcard.
I don't even get the postcard.
And God love her, nice person, but I get the postcard of the other gazillion houses that she sold.
Right.
But that's the extent of the relationship.
Yeah, it's different.
It's not even magnetic. It's paper, you know. At least my Allstate guy sends me something I can throw up on the refrigerator. Well, Lee, this is not the end of the party. We also have in the house Graham Barrett, superstar, over at Three Options.
Now, what part of Graham, are you based in a geographic area?
I'm in Dunwoody. So,
Dunwoody?
Yeah, so I'd be doing Dunwoody, Roswell, Sandy Springs, Smyrna, Tucker, up as far as Alpharetta, maybe a little further. Yeah.
Now, so has your experience been the same?
Yeah, exactly the same. I think what attracted me the most was, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a born and raised sales guy, you know, and here I'm talking to a guy who's in real estate and it should all be about sales, and I'm hearing about relationships and the kind of stuff I know I can do. And that's what turned me on, that the slightly smaller dynamic and having the management and leasing going in with it, you know, and it's just been up from there. It's been great.
But this is not all soft, touchy-feely stuff. This is good business. To treat people like this, develop relationships, it's good business. It lines the pockets, and you make a substantial profit when you do it well. And these folks have established a book of business and a solid referral network that's going to serve them for years, right, Dan?
Yeah, exactly. And it's continuing to grow. You know, that's the thing about it. It's our office has doubled its inventory, and I figure by the end of this year we'll be probably double that. So it's constantly growing, and so that for each agent that makes a sustainable income. In sales, when an agent goes to the closing table in sales, the income stops from that relationship unless they foster it.
Right.
In property management, every single month they're going to get a check. It's not a big check. It's a little check, but the little check gets bigger and bigger every month as you continue to grow your inventory.
Well, and I'm going to call Letitia also. She's going to become a trusted resource to me, I'm thinking, right?
I would love to become a trusted resource.
but if I'm already working with you as if I'm the tenant or the landlord, either one, and I need blinds or I need anything that's even remotely related, and I might ask you about a good private school in the area, but I would certainly be asking you about stuff related to a home.
Absolutely.
So you've got to be regarded, all of you in each of your cases, be regarded as a strategic resource for your clients.
Most definitely. And I just want to say about what makes me a great property manager is that I have a renter's mind. I still rent myself. So I just treat people like I want to be treated. So if something happens in my house or, you know, if I go look at a house, you know, I haven't given, the opportunity to go out and find houses for my investors. I look at it and say, would I rent this house? You know, it's just, it works, you know? I mean, really, it works to have the mindset of the people who are going to live in your house and then to know that you're just going to treat them like you want to be treated. It works brilliantly.
So how exactly does this thing work on the ground? Let's say that I am moving to town and I want to rent a house. How do I even, I find you because of the part of town I'm in, or? How do I get a chance to start working with you?
Well, a lot of we have an aggressive internet marketing campaign. A lot of people use the internet these days to search for their properties.
That's the first thing I do probably now that I think. I hadn't thought about it. Right. It's been so long since I've looked for a place, but that's the first thing I do is get on the computer.
And we have a great presence on the internet throughout our own home sites, mine, www.latanyasampson.com.
Nicely done.
Thank you very much. Also like us on Facebook. So through that, and then Three Options Realty has a corporate website, and we have relationships with other real estate agents that our properties are shared in between the different agents. So our properties and the portfolios that we have also help build our branding, so to speak, and our presence out in the marketplace.
So you profit personally because of the backdrop of all of the well-managed properties, and because Letitia does a good job and Graham does a good job.
Or just the advertising that they're being out there. So when you go to look for a property in the area that you like, if I have my marketing in place, I'm going to have a presence representing those properties.
But now, why do I want to work through you? Or what are the advantages of me working through you versus either working with someone else or just, you know what, I'm going to go do it on my own. I'm going to go, you know, I know what I want, right?
I'm going to tell you what I've heard repeatedly this week. When you inquire online for one of our properties, I get an email. I pick up the phone and I call you back. plain and simple.
That's unusual?
That is very unusual.
Really?
Unfortunately, especially in a rental marketplace, a lot of agents, again, we're unique. They don't make a whole lot of money on leasing other people's properties. So they don't want to do as much work. You know, give them a set of different properties, take a look at them, pick which one. You know, we go from there. It's still kind of jumping from one transaction to another. So for me, they see it. I'm looking for that next person I can build a relationship with. I'm looking for another person to put into my network. I think Robert Kiyosaki says, you know, you build wealth by building your network.
Right.
So by doing so, I'm trying to continue to establish more people. If I don't get any business from them right then, maybe I put them into my network and possibly they refer me in the future.
Who knows what's going to happen now that we all know Graham? Who knows how that's going to blossom, right?
Sky's the limit.
So, Graham, how about the other side of it? If I have a property, why do I want it managed? Can't just, you know, my brother-in-law, he's out of work. He could keep the place looking decent. Why would I want it?
A lot of this part is the education. I mean, knowing what you're doing. And Dan is constantly updating our knowledge base and educating us. And he's a qualified real estate instructor, too. So we get the free education. But, he's always updating our forms, making things better, improving things, and we just pass it on to our clients. So, you know, our landlords know they're going to have the most up-to-date forms we're using.
And I'm not a professional landlord, right? I'm a radio host, so I can't even hold down a real job, much less.
Exactly.
I don't have what I need to know to be a good landlord, probably.
Yeah, I think, you know, you'll find that a lot of private landlords don't understand what they're missing. And, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're missing because you don't know it's out there. I mean, that's hard to explain. It's sort of an intangible. But, for example, I get phone calls all the time from investors who say, well, I'm California. I live in San Diego, and we want to come out and buy 50 houses in Atlanta in the next 6 months.
And people do that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real conversation people are having.
I have it 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah. Man.
4 to 5 times a week.
Yeah.
Somebody wants to buy 50 houses.
I have one that wants to buy 500 in the next year.
Man.
Good for you.
Well, I didn't know. Well, no. So, okay, here's how the conversation goes. They say, I want to buy 50 houses in the next 6 months. And I say, well, I'm probably not the right guy for you. And they go, huh? Because they're expecting a sales pitch, you know. But
right. The
reality is, I know the next question they're going to ask me is, will you do it for a discount because I'm giving you so much business?
Right.
And my answer is, no, I won't, because the work that you do, that these agents do on a property, it doesn't matter. If you give me 5 or give me 1, I'm going to do the same amount of work on each one of those 5 as I'm doing on the 1.
Right.
You know, and what they're missing, and so they have these little matrix put together that tells them what their profitability is going to be, and they're looking at cash flow primarily. Leticia has a pretty sophisticated model that she uses with her investors, but a lot of them are looking at the tangibles. They're not thinking about the quality. They're not thinking about the turnover. They're not thinking about the damages that might happen from poor management. And so when owners do this on their own, a lot of times they don't know what they might be getting themselves into. And as long as they got a tenant that comes in and takes care of the property and pays on time, they're okay. But what they don't realize is that they just, over the last 5 years, they've had 5 different tenants, because at the end of each year, the tenant moved. And I can tell you, from being an investor myself, the most costly part of being an investor in real estate is the turnover.
Is that right?
It's going to cost you $2,000 to $3,000 every time you turn a property over, in terms of hard costs and lost opportunity costs. And so if we can get a tenant, I have one of my properties, for example, that the tenant's been in there for 12 years. 12 years. Now, that's no turnover. They called me 3 years ago and said, Dan, the house hasn't been painted in 8 years or 9 years. Do you think we could get it painted? I said, sure. And I said, just send me the sample of the color that you want to put on there, and I'll get it painted. And I didn't hear from him for 30 days. I called him and said, what happened? Well, we had it painted. What do you mean you had it painted? You're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to do that, right? And with most tenants, I probably would have gotten a little upset about it. But after having a relationship with them for 8 or 9 years at that stage, I figured they probably did just fine, and they didn't do it themselves. They hired someone to do it. But, you know, you build a relationship. And I'll tell you another thing about private owners or landlords. what they don't realize when they start marketing, a lot of them get on Craigslist or one of those kind of sites like that, and there are tenants out there who are professional tenants. That's what they do. They go around from house to house
like
to
month
house.
To month.
Yeah, or as long as they can string it out.
Really?
Without paying rent, you know, and but they don't mess with the professional property manager because they realize that we know the game. We might know it better than they do, and so we don't. We kind of operate at a higher strata of the demographic. The people that contact us are people that are real. We ask for substantial deposits to protect our landlords. And I was talking to a guy yesterday on the phone who wanted to. He wanted to lease the property and turn it over to us to manage. And there's some problems with that. I won't get into the technicalities of it. We'll do it. But there's a lot of things, expectations need to be set between the guy who's doing the managing and the tenant. And he doesn't know what our policies are, but he's going to try to lease it. And, for example, he says, I can't talk fees right now because it's against the law. But he was asking for a security deposit that was very, very small compared – not security, but pet deposit, which was very small compared to what we – would demand, and we don't have any problem getting it. He couldn't believe that. But there's just a lot of things that the private owner doesn't know.
Sure.
They don't know.
Right. And you do this every day, so you know all the ins and outs. Now, can you walk us through what it's like? Like, say I'm going to move, and I can't sell my house, but I would rather have you guys try to, like, you would be find the person, the tenant for me? Is that how the relationship would work?
Exactly.
Can you walk us through, like, okay, now I'm... You know, I got a job in another market, so I'm going to go. I can't sell my house because of, for whatever reason. So I'm going to call you guys and go, hey, can you guys rent this for me? Is that that happens, right?
Mm-hmm. That's
the bread and butter? Or
yeah, that would be our bread and butter. We do work with a lot of investors, but the client that you're talking about right there, we have a lot of those. And they need our help. They really need
right.
our help.
Right. So now what's the next conversation? What happens next?
Well, okay, so it would mean you want to talk. Okay.
Oh, look, it's just happening right now. This okay. just happened to me. So
Letitia runs to the phone and says, okay. That one's mine.
No. What happens? No, they'll call you personally. So this woman saw my sign for rent in her neighborhood.
Okay.
Okay, she hasn't lived in her house for 3 years, and she's had some shoddy people that have been managing her property, and she's just wanting it to be managed by somebody she can trust. So she called me and she said, hi, you know, I moved out of town. I got this property. It's ready to go. I saw your name out there and I want to, do you guys do property management? Yes, we do. I said, well, let me get the address. And is it on the lockbox? She said, yes, it is. Well, let me go in and check it out and tell you what I think you can get for rent. And then we'll go from there. So, okay. So I go check the house out. I see it. And I would say, okay. And I have some houses in the neighborhood, so I know what the rent's going for. And I can compare hers to mine. So I tell her, you know, what I think we can get for rent. You might want to clean this and do this. You know, she's like, well, can you manage that for me? I don't live there. Would you be able to find the people to do that? Of course. I said, but, you know, we have a management agreement that we would have to go through with you and I,
sure.
and it'll just basically say what our fees are and what is expected of us as managers and what's expected of you as the owner. As far as, you know, we don't make any decisions for you. We will let you know what needs to be done, and you know, you would have
to. It's your call, right?
Right, it's your call. It's your house, you know, but we definitely give great recommendations. So at this point, I've sent her the forms and she's going over them with her husband and they're talking about it, things like that. But she definitely wants to make the decision. So once she makes the decision and she signs the paper and she signs, you know, the management agreement and the exhibits, which she opts into some things we have or not. And then I would sign it myself and submit it to Dan and let him know that we have a new rental listing along with the checklist of things that we have to do there. Then I would go put my sign in the yard and
get... So now you're going to find a tenant.
Oh, yeah. So immediately put my sign in the yard, go take the pictures, write the ad, go and get it syndicated to the 20-plus websites that we're dealing with and wait for the phone to ring.
Now, if I'm leaving, do I leave my furniture? This is an empty house? How does it work
no,
in that regard?
No, empty houses. I personally haven't dealt with any that were furnished. This one in particular has a washer and dryer, but, you know, that's rare
that's
in
it.
A house. Yeah.
And now, who rents a house as opposed to somebody who rents an apartment? Is that a different person?
It's a good question, actually, in view of today's marketplace, because you see... there is a very distinctive difference in the demographic of an apartment dweller and single, because we manage single family detached homes, primarily a few condos, but primarily single family detached homes. And the people that right now are losing their homes to foreclosure, their families, they're used to living in a single-family home. They're used to having a yard. They're used to having the privacy that's afforded by having a single-family home. And they want to replace that. They want to live in that same lifestyle. And there's a significant change that's going on in the credit mentality or marketplace in terms of the perception of people who have bad credit that's caused from a foreclosure. So we have a very sensitive qualification process that we look at. We don't just look at a credit score. We look at the whole person. We have like six different categories of the profile that we look at, and we have a matrix to decide, is this a good risk or not? And we don't even look at credit score. Credit score is not a factor because it doesn't tell you anything that you need to know. Rent is not credit. Rent is paid before the fact, not after the fact. So it's not even credit.
Interesting.
So what we're looking for is there, if this person had had their home foreclosed, but all their revolving credit, all the other credit lines that they have, they've been making their payments on those, is just pretty clear that what happened was they had a hiccup with their single family home.
Right.
And so those might be a good risk for us. And those are the people that we put in. But I'm going to tell you that single-family homes, I've been managing since 1997, and I've never had a problem. Even before the market became blistering red hot like it is right now for rentals, I never had a problem getting property leased.
Really? Now, as the owner, or the, I guess I'm the landlord, I'm hiring you as the property manager, is this something that's lucrative for me, or is this something that is allowing me to kind of pay off my mortgage? Like, is this something where I'm making money, or is it I'm just kind of happy treading water? What's
There are tons of tax advantages, particularly if you're a W-2 income earner, and particularly if you're making less than $228,000, whatever the alternative minimum tax is.
Uh-huh.
But if you are a W-2 income earner, you can save a ton of money. There's depreciation. I mean, you can that depreciation is the biggest expense that you can write off, and that's just funny money. But every expense, like right now, if you have a single-family home and you're paying a mortgage on it, the only deduction you're getting on that is your interest on the note, if you have a mortgage. If you don't have a mortgage, you don't have any write-offs on that house. But as soon as it turns into an investment property, now you do get the interest on the note, but you also get the property taxes that you're paying on it each year. You get the insurance premiums you pay for your homeowner's insurance, that's a write-off. Maintenance on the property is a write-off. The fees you pay to the management company to manage your property is a write-off. Yard maintenance is a write-off. Anything that you spend money on that's associated with that house is a write-off.
I think when I start to share, or if I'm talking to a new landlord that's not familiar with the different things about this type of business, is making them understand that real estate investment is a business. And a lot of people, I've talked a lot of times to people telling them having a home-based business, which having a real estate property can be, is a place where you can get over 400 tax deductions. So it's big in my first interaction with a new landlord to say, look, you're literally getting my service for free. Because at the end of the year, the expense of having a professional handle what most people look at it as a headache now is now a tax deduction for them.
And also, we know our rent market very well. So a person who one of my clients now, they had their house sold to them through an agent, and the agent said, oh, you can get, you know, a really low amount of rent for it. And, you know, he was worried about it. And I'm like, no way. You know, you got the best house in the neighborhood. You can get this, you know. So we can keep you on the correct rental, you know, side. You're going to get the most money for your house. You're going to get the best bang. You know, if you got a nice house, we're going to make sure that we put a quality tenant in it that's going to pay you a quality amount.
Well, I'll tell you something that occurs to me. If I had a property and I had an opportunity to rent to a friend or a family member, boy, would I much rather have you guys in there as the buffer. That way it's all clean and you guys handle the problem. Do you ever run into that?
Absolutely.
All the time.
Having a third party is key, especially in the situations when they do get hairy, when you're looking to collect rent they've suffered some type of thing that it's out of their control. Understanding that, but you don't want to be emotionally tied to the situation. So why not have a third party person who's unbiased, who can go through this is what we agreed on. And who doesn't say, look, when friends do something, put it in writing. So now we make you put it in writing.
Well, I'll tell you that I am an investor. I own a number of properties myself. I don't self-manage them. I have my agents manage them for me.
Oh, that's it. Well, that tells you everything you need to know right there. Before we let you go, I'd like to take the opportunity, if we could, to go around the table and get from each of you a tip on renting or being a landlord tip or a tenant tip. That would be fantastic. And we'll start with you.
How about I'll start? Yeah. I think the secret is to get someone that you like, someone you like working with. You're going to get to know them better. They're going to get to know you. They're going to pick you apart to see what you like, how they can please you. I've always found leasing it's a matchmaking game as well. You know, it's not just getting a renter in there. It's getting someone that you think the owner might enjoy having in his property, and a tenant that enjoys being in the property so much they're going to take care of it for the owner. And as long as we're getting to know people and getting to like people and people getting to like us, I think that just all falls into place. So work with someone you like.
Yeah, life's too short, right? And there's too many opportunities to work with someone that you like. Letitia?
Well, I do agree with Graham there. You know, there is a house for everyone. You know, I feel like, you know, just because someone's interested in it doesn't mean that that's the house for them. You know, I kind of listen to them. I interview them. I say, well, you know, I know this house, you might like this house, but let me show you this one too, because, you know, this one fits for you. And, you know, a tip I want to give to renters, potential tenants, you know, if you give us a call, if you're looking to rent in September and it's June, probably the inventory we have now is not going to be available, because we typically, you know, lease our properties rather quickly. I also want to say, don't be scared about having a low credit score. If you've been on your job for a few years and you've, you know, where you live now, you've been paying your rent very good and you've got good references, you know, those things help in qualifying you. So just don't be scared to call a professional company, because, you know, even though we do check credit, we are, you know, there's ways to qualify if you've been showing good behavior in other you know, ways of life.
Fantastic. So, I mean, you're looking at the entire person and the entire situation. It's not just the spreadsheet like Lee was alluding to earlier. LaTanya?
I would like to give a landlord tip. I working with landlords, who, and especially people who are looking to get into the investment business. A lot of people want to go in there and make it beautiful and make it top-notch granite and tile and, you know, everything just top-notch so they can get their top dollar for their property. We're in a cost-conscious type of market. So it's better to have a good, clean, everything working, everything functional, nice home than something that somebody's not willing to pay all that money for.
That sounds like
good advice.
good counsel. And Dan, a tip from you, and if we could wrap up with some contact information and make sure that our listeners know how to reach out and get to the right folks at Three Options.
Okay, thank you. I guess I would say communications. Maybe it's because of the vantage point that I look at this thing, but communications is a two-way deal. And while my agents might be trying very hard to communicate with owners, this is teamwork. This is owner and an agent getting the job done together. And so if an owner just washes their hands of it and says, okay, agent, you got it, it's on you, I don't think that's fair. They're not going to get good quality service that way. They've got to stay engaged, not overly engaged, but they've got to keep the communication channel open if they're going to have a good experience in the property management.
Fantastic. And the best way for our listeners to reach out and learn more?
Okay, well, our website is threeoptionsrealty.com, threeoptionsrealty.com. You can actually spell out the three if you want to. Either way, it'll get to the same site. Or you can call our office at 678-397-1282, 678-397-1282, and I'll be happy to get you in touch with any of our agents.
Well, I just want to say I have a Twitter, so if you guys tweet out there, it's brand new too. You know, I haven't been giving my business Twitter account as the attention that I need to. I only have 7 followers, so I hope that Atlanta Business Radio X would help me out there. But it's a Letitia Realtor, so it's LatishaRealtor, and the @ before it. And my website is thepeoplesrealtor.me. Yeah, that's me doing something for the people.
Well, if we did that, we got to go back around the table there. But
so I'm saying, you know, it's not a shameless plug. It's right on time.
You've set the precedent. So we'll swing back around and have LaTanya. Let's make sure that we have your website.
Absolutely. My website is my name, LaTanyaSampson.com, LaTanyaSampson. And then, like I said, the best way is Facebook, LaTanya Sampson Real Estate. Appreciate it.
And Graham.
Well, the same way Dan sold me on the options of three options, I wanted to keep something of that. So I've got my last name, Barrett Options.
Oh, very nice.
Wow, BarrettOptions.com.
Cool. And Lee, did you want to share your contact info?
This is Radio X. Now, before we go, Stone, why don't you thank the sponsors of the show?
This could not be possible without the Atlanta Board of Realtors and Barbara Salahonik over at Sell to Design, who is staging our green room. The Mortgage Bankers Association of Georgia, and of course, Corporate Office Centers right here at One Glen Lake Parkway. Thank you to all of you good folks, and I'm going to look forward to doing this every week. Man, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, for Stone Payton, I am Lee Cantor. This has been Real Estate Atlanta. We will see you all next week.